The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
Are you in?
I'm in.
Good. Oh, close quarter recording studio.
Oh, boy.
What an episode.
Well, first of all, where the heck have we been for the last 3 weeks?
I'd make sure we weren't on mute. Remember that one time?
Are we?
No.
There needs to be some kind of indicator.
Like, there's a flashing light right here.
No, but like on the screen.
Yeah, like a, yeah. We've had a wild go.
I know. And we're so sorry. But we just had to
not... I'm trying to think what even happened to us. It's been really busy.
Yeah, I think either I was really sick or the kid... There was a kid that was really sick, and then...
There was a kid that was sick, and then...
We had sports wrapping up, which is like... seems like every like, goddamn day there's
something. Forget every year how busy March is.
Yeah.
And then it becomes March, and I just want to call. Crawl into a hole and cry.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. March Madness, is that a sports term?
Yeah, in basketball, but it's like our lives.
Yeah.
Like both my kids' sports wrap up, but then figure skating never really wraps up. So it's like a whole bunch of stuff to wrap it up for the winter, but then the spring season starts the next day.
Yeah.
And parent-teacher interviews and March break.
Everything.
Everybody's squirrely by March. Like we're over winter. It snowed again.
We're in the middle of a snowstorm right now.
Yeah. It was 20 degrees earlier, like 2 days ago.
Yeah. It was real warm. And then, I don't know, some kind of Arctic front came in.
Yeah.
Ruined everything.
Yeah. So now it's cold and it's snowy and everyone wants to go on March break. And I wish that we were flying to Mexico, but actually Mexico would suck. It'd be spring break and we'd be there with all the 19-year-olds.
That's true.
So.
And my best friend's husband just got back from Mexico and he had a really bad virus that he picked up there.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting myocarditis, like damage of the heart.
Yeah.
He was in the hospital.
Yeah. Like, we're not slagging on Mexico. We're just
like, I am maybe a little.
I just think traveling in general, you need to be conscientious, cautious,
yeah, cognitive, conscientious. Anyway, speaking of traveling.
That's a good segue. We didn't even plan that.
Yeah. This episode is episode 18 called My Kind of Guy.
Gee. You get it?
Oh my God.
I realized it when you were getting ready just now and I didn't want to tell you.
I got it because you pointed it out.
Yeah.
My Kind of Gee.
Okay. So April 6th, 1998. We need to remember it's 1998 because there's some internet action.
this episode.
This was a real flashback.
Okay, when the Camdens host a French foreign exchange student, everyone seems to be getting into trouble.
Okay, first of all.
Like, where do we start? Because there wasn't a flow. And my notes are all over the place.
Yeah, this episode, I do remember seeing on TikTok some clips of this episode from other people. And mm-hmm. we're going to post some on Instagram and TikTok because there are some very rude things.
Like, why did they pick the six-year-old to be the racist?
maybe because they knew, but they were like, well, you can't get mad at a six-year-old.
Yeah. Like, this actress won't remember these lines. Mackenzie Rossman, where are you now?
Yeah. This episode, if I had to summarize it, like, weaponized incompetence, like...
Gaslighting. Racism.
It's got it all.
It's got it all.
Like, the way that Eric just said yes to a foreign exchange student for a few weeks without first talking with his partner, and Annie in one of the scenes loses it and says, you didn't even think to check with me. Do you know how much, like, a teenage boy will eat and all the laundry I do, which I wanted to point out, but then why did you have Simon showing Ruthie how to do her own laundry using your bra?
And there's a scene where Annie's making the bed that Guy is going to sleep in. Mm-hmm. And she's like, see, I have to do it. And Eric kind of says, like, well, he'll fall in line with the other kids sooner or later. But Annie's losing it because Eric just says, oh, yeah, that's no problem.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand the mental load, the physical load. He's a load of crap.
Yeah.
That it takes to be Annie in that house, five kids, stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that in my life.
No.
And if you invited someone to stay here and didn't ask me until they were ringing the doorbell, I'd be pissed. Also, he tells the kids before he even tells Annie, which I pointed out.
Yeah. And I just think there's a bigger discussion about bringing in, like, a teenager.
Like, was he, though?
No. First of all, he was a 37-year-old man.
He's a teenager. Like, Matt's a teenager. Like, the actor's actually 30.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. Okay. So, we find out this foreign exchange student's coming. No one's into it except for Mary and Lucy, who are like, oh, a boy.
Oh, he's going to be cute. Matt's age.
So, lo and behold, Guy shows up. What's his real name? Guillaume?
Guillaume, I think, is what they said, yeah.
And so, but he goes by Guy.
Yeah.
And he right away tries to charm the pants right off of Annie.
Oh, yeah. He flirts with her the moment he
walks through
the
door. Brings her a box of chocolates and says she's so beautiful, like a supermodel. And then after she goes into the kitchen to make him a sandwich where she belongs, he pulls out a bottle of wine and some Cuban cigars for Eric.
Yep. Which Eric immediately says he can't smoke.
But he'll make sure they go to good use.
I wrote, flirts with Annie immediately.
Yeah. And, like, kind of flirts with Eric in a way.
He does. He flirts with everybody.
Yeah.
More than once in this episode.
Yeah.
So then Eric says, hey, girls, come on down. And he calls down Mary, Lucy, and Ruthie to meet Guy.
Yeah.
And they get down the stairs, and Eric says, girls, meet Guy. And Ruthie goes, Guy? Yuck.
Like, yeah, she's not holding back.
No. So then they all move into the living room, and he says, this is Guy, and Ruthie, and he's, what does he say, bonjour?
Enchanté, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, like, he speaks in, he says, like, two French words, he speaks in English mm-hmm. entirely, and Ruthie, I can't even say it, Ruthie says, this is America, speak English.
Oh. Like, I can't even, this is so problematic, mm-hmm. and nobody addresses it. He just sort of shrugs his shoulders, like, ah. Kids well, say the darndest things.
And then Mary leans over to meet him, and she's like, hello, my name is Mary.
As if he's
deaf. I don't know.
Yeah, and doesn't speak English. And it's one of those things, like, when you are trying to talk to somebody who isn't fluent in your language, you think by talking louder and slower.
Yeah. Or, like, only using keywords.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, but that's inappropriate. You need to just speak to people the way that you speak.
Right. Yeah. So then, and Lucy just has oogly eyes right away. She wants this French dream boat.
Yeah. Although Eric does say to Mary, he's not deaf. Don't talk to him like that. But, like, do you talk to deaf people like that? Like, all of it's wrong.
Yeah, there's a lot that's wrong.
Like, there was already a deaf character. They didn't speak to her like that. So I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. So.
So then Eric and Annie end up in the kitchen. And Annie is still like, I don't know about this. Like, we've got two teenage girls. And which, like, I get that. But also, you should care about all the children in your home.
Yeah. But I like, she says something about our home, although I use that term loosely because you're treating it like your home to Eric. Like,
she had she got the digs in all the different times.
Yeah.
So then Ruthie so they're talking about how, okay, maybe he's not so bad, Annie and Eric. And then Ruthie walks in out of nowhere and just calls him a chauvinist pig. Like, who fed this kid these lines?
Yeah. And how long did they have to coach the actress to, like, pronounce the word chauvinist?
Oh, God.
And be like, don't worry what it means, sweetheart. Just say it. Like, just go to your mark
like you mean it.
And say it.
Yeah. And Annie does say, you don't even know what that means. And Ruthie's like, well, I know what a pig is. Like, it's bad.
Because isn't a pig also a derogatory term for a French person?
I think so.
I don't know. But it seemed like it in this episode.
Yeah.
And so everyone's put out. Simon has to be convinced to move back in with Ruthie for a few weeks so that Guy can have his room.
Why not get Matt to move in with Simon? Because there was two beds in there.
Mm-hmm.
And put Guy in the attic.
Yeah.
Like, he'd have his own space.
Yeah, there was a lot of solutions that weren't this one. But, and Matt's like, well, I have a date tonight. And Eric's like, well, you better stay home and entertain him. And he's like, Dad, this is your problem. You invited this guy here. And what's his name? Eric was like, oh, well, I have to go to the church to work on my sermon.
So, like, he invites a guy and then he leaves.
Yeah, a stranger.
Eric has to leave.
Yeah, you did write that. Yeah, so.
Because, again, he's leaving Annie out to dry.
Yeah, in a house with a stranger who's 37.
And is hitting on their daughters.
Yeah. And there's one scene where Guy goes in the bathroom and lights a cigarette in the open window and says, stupid Americans. Is that what he says? Something like that?
Yeah. Exactly what he says.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay.
So is he a protagonist? Like, I don't know.
Hard to say.
It's hard to say. So Guy also has a laptop.
Oh, yes.
And Simon is tickled about it because he says that Simon can use his laptop.
But picture, like, in high school, doing biology, like, the size of the textbook. Like, picture a high school textbook that weighs about 35 pounds. That is this laptop.
It's the 1998 laptop.
There was a lot of really good throwback references to technology. Because Simon's like, yeah, if you want to use the phone line to plug in for internet, but we only have one line, so.
Yeah, Annie picks up the phone to make a call, and he's like, you can't do both.
Yeah, ding, 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 like that noise.
And then Simon does make a comment. He's like, whoa, he's like, the internet. He's like, talking across the world. Like, it was, in 1998, that was wild.
Yes. You may recall, shout out to my other podcast titled I Did Not Sign Up For This. And over on the Patreon, I share a story about my foray into online chat rooms and how I was almost kidnapped. So.
Yeah. Did you notice? Sorry.
Yeah.
It started when he lit the cigarette in the bathroom. They played the, like, background Camden music.
Okay.
But French. If that makes any sense.
Pardon me?
there was a French twang to it.
Like they had like a French horn in the background.
Yes. All the music, the whole episode. It was like you were in a French bistro. We got to go back and listen.
I'm trying to think of what that instrument would be. Like what?
I was going
to
ask you, but I
forgot. What instrument is inherently French bistro-esque?
I don't know. It sounds like a string instrument.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not a musician.
You didn't notice it?
Like, I don't think so. It's been a few weeks since we've watched the show. So maybe I just was like...
I was like, we just watched it. I know what you're saying.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah. So, we go and we switch scenes. Lucy's now on the couch with Guy and asking him about, do French men prefer a woman's body, personality, or mind, or something like that?
Yeah, she's reading from like a compatibility quiz in her Teeny Bop Cosmo magazine.
Yeah. And Guy is like, but you are forgetting the eyes. And she's like, oh my God.
She's melting.
Oh.
She even, do you see she tied her shirt? So it's like belly shirt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's putting on the Ritz for him. So then Mary comes down and they, all three of them, decide to go to the pool hall.
Yeah.
And they don't have a vehicle to get there. They don't have a metro. And so Guy is like, don't worry about it. I have money. And he puts them in a taxi. They take a cab. The three of them. And this is very exciting.
They're going to the billiards.
Like, was taking a taxi exciting when you were a kid?
No, it was terrifying because I lived in a tiny, tiny town. There was no public transit.
There was no taxis?
No, there's still barely a taxi. You're on a lot of their community pages. There's people, hey, can I get a ride from here to here? Does anybody know?
That's true. Yeah.
Back then, there was only 1,000 people. Now there's 3,000, but still. And so we would go to Toronto to visit my grandma, and she didn't drive. And all we did was take public transit. She could get everywhere on the subway. My mom took the subway growing up.
Like, I guess to my point is, like, I don't think that I considered taking a taxi to be adventurous or exciting or, like, dangerous, like a Glen Oak taxi.
Like, I guess if you grew up somewhere like Glen Oak and you were sheltered, like the Camdens mm-hmm. are. And
if your
so
dad
you,
was a creepy pastor.
You didn't have experience taking public transit and your brother drove you around everywhere. A taxi would be like,
woo, big city. G L A M O R O U S. We're flying first class. Oh boy. Okay. So they get themselves to the billiards.
Yeah. Eddie's,
which is different. It looked way different than.
So it looked way different. They went in like a different door. I'm trying to decide if it was the same place or not, because Eddie is the guy that owns the billiards because
you're right.
He was in an episode about something.
So maybe they renovated.
Maybe the billiards and Eddie's are two different things.
I just wanted Lucy to like be cool
because she
gets out of the taxi and Guy lights a cigarette and she is tickled and people are looking at her like people from school and she's like, oh my God, people are looking at us. And
Mary's like, chill out.
Like she has no chill.
Also, I liked how Guy complimented Mary at the very beginning on her sweater and it was just like one of those big, like not nice, oversized, like gay sweaters.
Yeah, he had to compliment something though.
Yeah.
So, but before they go to the billiards pool hall, mm-hmm. When Lucy goes upstairs, he says to Mary, he says, I thought it was just going to be the two of us.
Yeah.
And he like creepy talks into her ear and she's like, yeah, me too.
Oh,
like get out of here, Guy.
Okay. So Matt's off on his date.
Mm-hmm.
Eric has left and gone to the church to get his laptop so he can write a sermon.
Yeah.
Mary and Lucy and Guy are at Eddie's.
Mm-hmm.
Ruthie and Simon and Annie are at the house.
Yes.
So Simon asks if he can use Eric's office to go on the internet so we can plug the computer in there.
Yeah, because Guy's letting him use his computer.
Yes. And so he ends up in a chat room for, what's that thing he likes? Ant-Man? Bug-Man?
Yeah.
The Tick.
Oh. Looks like some sort of ant character, an insect.
The Tick chat room. And so he's hopefully just talking to other children his age, but we've all been in a chat room and it's not great. And so it, at the same time this is happening, Ruthie is digging through Gee's suitcase. Like, who?
Yeah.
Who is she?
A Karen.
She's a Karen.
This whole episode.
So she's digging through the suitcase. And Annie comes in. So back to the laptop. Annie comes in and she's talking to Simon. And she's like, oh my God, we're in a chat room. And she's like, well, can we look up like French stuff?
Like how to host a French exchange student? And Simon's like, yeah, Mom, the internet has it all. And Annie's like, I don't know how to use this internet.
So he Googles. It's not Google. Google didn't exist.
Yeah.
He looks up how to entertain a foreign exchange student. And they end up very quickly in another chat room with people talking about how to entertain French people.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, Reverend Camden, who's on his computer.
Rev Camden.
It's under Rev Camden.
That's his username.
He's also in the chat room.
It's like, first of all, red flag, Annie. If you haven't caught up to anything else, your husband is at a church in a chat room. Anyway.
So this is how it begins.
Yeah. Annie's like, oh my God, that's your dad. And so she's like, let me talk to him. And then she's like, I want to talk to him alone. So Simon's like, oh, easy. I'll just set you up a private chat room.
And so they end up in a private chat room. So they think. And they are like borderline dirty talking back
sexting.
And forth. Yeah. Like,
like it fast forwards and Annie's like got a bottle of wine and the chocolates and she's like
smitten. Like, smitten. Remember when you were kissing the raindrops off my head and he's like, and your t-shirt was wet.
Why don't we ever chat in a chat room like that?
Like we have text messages.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fair. All we do is...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Chat.
So at the same moment, Ruthie is rooting through Gee's bag, and Simon, who's now been kicked off the computer so his parents can sext, goes and finds Ruthie, and lo and behold, what does Ruthie find in Gee's bag?
The cigarettes. Are you so impressed with my French accent?
I am.
Parisian accent?
I can't do accents at all. It wouldn't be inappropriate.
Who's to say mine are appropriate?
Yeah, that's fair.
So Simon's like, you can't smoke those. And she's like, who's going to stop me? Dad's not home. And she's like, help me light this. I can't play with matches.
And he's like, you can't smoke either. And like bonks his head like idiot.
Yeah.
And she gaslights him into smoking. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, if Dad was here, he'd make me smoke the whole pack so that I'd never smoke again. She's like, you want to smoke? I know you want to smoke. And he's just like, okay.
And so they smoke a cigarette. They don't actually show it. They only show how sick they are after.
They're rolling around on the floor in the bathroom, like writhing like they're hungover.
Like, do you remember that sort of that rhetoric of like, oh, I'm going to make you smoke a whole pack of cigarettes?
Yeah, until you barf and then until you're sick and then you'll never do it again.
That's not my parenting philosophy, but.
No, it wasn't my parents' parenting philosophy either.
Yeah. Like, but you know, both my parents smoked and I have never smoked a tobacco cigarette.
You've never even put one to your lips?
No. Like, I've never even wanted to. I don't like it. It's not. But like, I think statistically, because both my parents smoked, at least me or my sister should be smokers.
Yeah, neither of you are.
No, like not. Yeah. Not that.
Yeah. I, like, in my 20s, I guess, would smoke, like, at parties, but, like, I never picked it up. My dad smoked all the time.
Yeah.
Cigars, cigarettes. He would, like, quit smoking cigarettes and smoke cigars. That was him quitting. He'd go back and forth and back and forth. And a lot of the men in my life smoked. But, yeah, like, I never picked it up as, like, a permanent habit. And neither did my brother, actually.
Interesting.
Although my dad did die at 40 of a heart attack, most likely. From smoking.
Well, so, okay, yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Without the trauma, maybe we would be smokers.
You'd be a pack-a-day smoker. Although, also, how do people afford it? I don't...
Yeah, I don't know how much a pack of smokes cost, but...
I think a lot. Like, why do I think it's like $30 for a pack of cigarettes?
It might be. I'm going to ask next time I'm in a Sev. I'm going to be like, how much for that? I won't even know how to order it.
For those... Camels.
No, that's American.
Camel toes.
You're going to ask how much the camel toes are.
Okay, so I'm sorry in advance if we offended any smokers, but we should quit.
You should quit. So they're rolling around on the floor sick, and Simon treats Happy like she's Lassie, and he's like, Happy, go find Mom. We need help.
Yeah. And so, sure enough, Happy does because she's a good girl.
And did you catch what Annie said when Happy busts into the...
She's like,
how long have I been on this thing? Like, she lost track of time in the chat room.
Like, Annie, just wait until you get TikTok. You're not even going to know what's happening.
You have 3 minutes, 3 hours. Who knows?
Do you know what I used to do on AOL, though? Because... I don't know if you had AOL, but when you signed off, it showed you how long you had been on for.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And so I would sneak down in the middle of the night and like pray to Jesus that the modem was going to be extra quiet.
Right.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. And so I would get onto the internet and then I would.
Talk to your predators.
I don't know if I had any ownership of them, but I talked to the predators, yes. And then I would log off and on and off again.
Oh, so it didn't look like you were on.
So
it'd
just be
hours?
Like 3 minutes.
That's clever of you.
Yeah, like as if my parents A, went and checked, and B, were like, oh, she was only on for 3 minutes. Like,
where was your computer in your house?
In the basement.
Oh.
The best spot to be picked up by a predator.
Yes, it is. Ours was... When we lived in Ontario, we very, very briefly had a computer before we moved to Calgary. And it was just like in the corner of our dining room. But we didn't have, I guess we had a spare room, but it was in the deepest, darkest corner of the basement where the predators live. So my mom put it out in the open. And then
You were never almost kidnapped.
No, I was not. And then when we moved to Calgary, it was like 3 bedrooms upstairs in our bungalow and then a finished basement. So my room was in the basement. And the third room upstairs was the computer room. So I guess you could like go in and close the door, but like it wasn't even on the same floor as my bedroom.
Right.
There was no sneaking off to use the computer.
No, especially that close to a parent's bedroom. That modem would have woken the whole neighborhood up.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
The predators would have woken up in the neighborhood.
Like, this is going to sound so stupid, but why did the internet have to be so loud?
Back then?
Like, what were those noises? Were they just to indicate that it was working? Like how a phone rings? But a phone ringing is like, ring, ring.
Yeah.
So, like that.
Although, rotary dial phones back then were very loud.
With that many different tones?
No, but they were just loud.
Ding, 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 ding.
Did you ever think to just unplug your speakers? You need to go back and relive your 13-year-old life again.
What do you mean?
Like, couldn't you just unplug your speaker? Like, wasn't the sound of the modem turning on coming through your speakers?
No, this is what I'm saying. I think it was coming from the modem.
Like, from the hard drive?
From the piece of equipment that was plugged into the phone outlet. Yeah.
Oh, well, I
Why
see what
did
you're
it
saying.
Have a speaker?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I feel like I remember putting a blanket on it to try and dampen the noise.
That's hilarious. And then somebody in the house would pick up the phone to make a phone call, and they wouldn't know you were on the internet, and it would disconnect you.
It would disconnect the internet?
Yeah. And it was so annoying.
Yeah, because it took 12 minutes to get onto the internet in the first yes. place.
Oh, the internet.
Oh, kids, if you are...
And now, if something doesn't load in a millisecond,
I'm over it.
I'm like, what the heck is yes. this? What's wrong with it? Why is my phone? What's it doing? My daughter's school sends out the dumbest updates for their like weekly overview. It's attached as a PDF that my phone needs to like download. But then, anyways, I hate it. The formatting is all off and it's frustrating. And where I was working today, the office is in the basement and it wouldn't open it. I tried it a bunch of times. And I was just like, well, I'm never reading this. Like, I'll never read it now. I probably got 3 more emails. It went off my screen. I'll never read it.
And you'll never know.
Anyways, okay, so.
Like, where are we even? So Ruthie and Simon go to bed.
Ruthie and Simon are smoking.
They smoke, they feel sick, they go to bed. Back at the
billiards
pool hall.
Matt shows up with his date.
Yeah.
Maybe named Amanda?
I thought it was like Colleen or something.
I thought it was a name. Doesn't matter. And lo and behold, so now they're all there.
Yeah.
And because it's the only place
Matt's like,
go.
This is my date.
And guess what language she speaks?
Francais.
Oh, Francais.
She spent a summer abroad in Paris. And so Guy right away is like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wee, wee, wee. So Guy and Matt's date just hit it off and start talking.
Like close talking.
So they're at a table, like sucking back milkshakes, like with their faces close together. And Matt, Mary, and Lucy are just like at the other end of the table, like pissed off.
They're watching them.
If it was a cartoon, their ears would be smoking.
Yeah. And so then Guy is like, hey, Matt, do you think you could drive your sisters home? I'll drive your date home.
I'll take your date.
He's like, yeah, okay.
It'd be funny if he brought her back to the captains. So then, okay. Annie takes off to go deal with Ruthie and Simon.
Yeah.
And we find out that their private chat is not private. And there's these two boys. They're probably like 10 and 12.
Yeah.
And they know who the Camdens are. They know it's Reverend Camden and Annie. And they're like trolling what they think is the private chat. And they're pretending to be Annie. And they like call Simon Spice Boy.
No,
not
Eric.
Simon. Eric Spice Boy.
Reverend Spice Boy.
Like, it's 1998. The Spice Girls were at the height
it's
of
true.
Their career.
And Eric is, like, getting off on this.
Oh, he's loving it.
So, Annie is fed up. She gets back on the computer and says, Eric, you need to get off this thing and phone me. We have a situation.
Yeah, because she picks up the phone and tries to call again.
And she can't because it's like,
she doesn't know what she's doing. So, it cuts to Eric storming into the billiards.
Yes. And this is so stupid. He picks up Guy's cigarette and puts it out and says, I think we need to talk. Like, there's no context given here.
Like, if this was at a playground at your son's school.
Yeah.
So, and you, grabbing a cigarette out of somebody's mouth and putting the cigarette out would be the equivalent of flicking off somebody's hat.
And we learned this week that that is grade 5 talk for it's on.
Throwing down. My son, there was an incident and he flicked off another kid's hat.
Trying to annoy him.
And the kid tackled him because.
Yeah, that's what
the principal was like, that's the sign for a fight. And I was like, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if Wyatt knew.
I don't know that Wyatt knew, but he knows now. So. So Eric basically says, my kids found your cigarettes. And Guy's like, well, why were they searching through my stuff?
Like,
and Eric's right. like, you do make a good point. Yes. And Eric's just like wooed by this guy. Every concern he brings up, Guy just has a sweet talking moment for him, and Eric's just eating out of the palm of his baguette.
It's true. They end up back at the house, and no,
they play a game of pool.
They play a game of pool. Sorry. So I wrote, Guy talks up Eric and gaslights him about every family member.
Yeah.
He's like, well, the girls were flirting with me, and like every single family member, he had like a
comeback
for. Yeah. Yeah.
So next morning, Eric and Annie are making the bed. Shocker that Eric's helping.
Well, he kind of stood there.
Yeah. I feel like he fluffed a pillow. So there, Annie's just like, I don't know. This is like, what a crazy night. And Ruthie and Simon come in, and Ruthie says, when are we getting rid of this pig? And Eric's like, okay, but like, you can't be so mean. Like, this kid came from another country. And then Mary and Lucy storm in, and they're like, what time is this creepo getting out of here? Like, it has not even been 24 hours.
No.
And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then Mac comes in and he says, if I lay eyes on that guy one or Guy one more time, there's going to be a dead frog at the door.
At the doorstep. Yeah. So like, I don't know if it's derogatory. I think it is to call French people frogs.
Yes.
I don't know about pigs. I think calling anybody a pig is not derogatory.
Kind. Yeah.
And Eric is like, this was supposed to be a culturally enlightening thing, yeah, having
Eric's
this man
got a
here
soft chub for this guy.
He does. He has a slow dance chubby for him.
Yeah. And so they're all bitching about him, and who hears
Guy?
And he's like, ah, understood. I will pack my bags and leave immediately. But like, isn't he supposed to be 17?
And like, I don't understand what happened with, like, there was no talk about how or why he was here and who he couldn't stay with and why it had to be the Camdens. Because, like, so what Eric was explaining at the beginning of the episode was that he got a call from his friend and this exchange student is here. And if he doesn't find a place to sleep immediately, he's got to get on a plane and go back home. Can't even wait an hour until Annie gets home from the grocery store to ask if it's okay.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden he can just get on a plane and
get
leave.
Get on a plane going back to France.
It's like, it's not even, it's 36 hours later.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah. So Eric and Annie say, we have to apologize. We're going smallest to biggest. So Ruthie and Simon go in first and kind of like give an apology in a way. And then.
And he gaslights them and says, no, I actually want to leave.
Yeah.
I.
You went through my stuff.
Yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah. And then the girls come in and
he gaslights them. He says, no, I have a girlfriend back home. I want to leave. And they're like, no, stay. But then Lucy was like, oh, you're going to write me when you get there?
Like, girl.
Give it a rest.
You need some time to understand what's happening.
Adult relationships.
And then
Matt comes in and he's like, see you later.
Yeah, see ya.
Pass
bye.
Him.
And then Eric and Annie go in and he's like, no, it is. I just want to go home. And Eric's like, okay, I'll take you to the airport. Was there a flight arranged? Does his family know he's coming
like
home?
He's a minor, technically.
like he is 37, but
yeah,
he's portraying a 17-year-old.
And so he walks out into the hallway. And as he's walking through the like main hallway of the upstairs, he just goes, you say it because you have an
stupid
accent.
Stupid Americans.
And all seven of the Camdens stick their heads out and go, we heard that at the same time.
Yeah. Like, would you ever have a foreign exchange student?
Like, I don't know. Maybe.
My mom's sister and brother-in-law have always had foreign exchange students. They've had students from Brazil and Japan and I don't know
That's
where
cool.
else. Like,
I think I would bill it like a sports person, like a hockey player. That's huge. That's a huge thing, especially in Saskatchewan and in Manitoba.
Yeah, where, they're such tiny towns.
Yeah, and so like you move to like Humboldt, who are you going to live with? And you're playing on the Broncos. You move to like, I don't know, Brandon, Manitoba.
Yeah, you got a billet.
Yeah, so you get billeted out. But a lot of the times you will stay with like another kid on your team's family.
Yeah.
I went to Australia and we stayed with basically strangers when I was in my early 20s.
Like, at any point did you think, I'm probably going to die?
No, I didn't. So we, this was in 2003, I think. 2002, 2003,
okay.
Whenever SARS was a thing, and whenever okay. the America invaded
the America,
whenever, like, it was just after September 11th happened, like the year or two after, and like America invaded, I don't know, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan.
After 9/11?
After 9/11.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Afghanistan.
Okay. So
we are going to be starting a history podcast.
So I was supposed to go to Australia. Well, I did go, but I was supposed to go to Australia on a school trip when I was going to college. And so we're like all in our 20s, like late teens, early 20s. We were like adults, young adults. And we were supposed to fly from Calgary to like Kuala Lumpur and then go through Taipei and then end up in Australia. And they were like, oh, you can't go through Kuala Lumpur because it might be dangerous because of the war. And we were like, dang. And then they were like, okay, dang. It's not that bad. You can still go. And we were like, great. And then they were like, oh, wait, now there's SARS. You can't go through Taipei. And we were like, okay, great. So they rerouted us. So we just went to LA, to Auckland, to Melbourne.
Wow.
But it was, I don't know if you flew during that time, but if you remember 20 years ago, but SARS, it was not as bad as COVID, but like you had to fill out forms about if you were feeling sick and while you were on the airplane before you crossed through customs. And so because of SARS, a whole bunch of people that we were supposed to get billeted with at SAIT, the school I was going to, sister school in Melbourne, backed out.
Yikes.
So I was like, who are we? So we didn't know who we were going to stay with. And so some people just randomly volunteered. So I ended, myself and another person ended up staying with like a teacher's husband's brother's family.
Wow.
And they drank a lot and we partied a lot and it was really
fun. You said they had a pool.
Yeah, we stayed in their pool house.
Like, I don't think I'm fun enough to like give somebody, a young person, that experience.
I think we'd be fun.
Are they underage or?
No, they're overage.
Overage. Okay.
They're of age. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Like, I mean, this guy's only supposed to be 17, I think, right?
Right.
18? Grade 12?
So, but does that mean this was episode 18? Is 19 and 20 the last two episodes, or is it 20 and 21?
It is 21 and 22.
Oh, okay. So we still have four more episodes of this season.
Yeah.
What do we have next time?
Time to leave the nest.
Uh-oh.
Matt's bending the rules and hinting about moving out against Annie's wishes. Oh, God, look at this still. That's Lucy crying and running.
Oh, yeah, she's running. She's mad. Well, I mean, he's graduating. He only has like half a semester left, I think they said in this episode, before he's off to college.
And he's a smart kid. Like, I think he got into some colleges, and I think remember he was trying to, like, get a certain grade?
Yeah.
In a certain subject?
That's what you do. Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. I'm sorry that we ghosted for a couple weeks. We just couldn't get a grip of things.
No.
And we're also recording this weekend for the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want some bonus episodes and want to hang out with us some more, go and look up on Patreon A Lesbian Recap.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where we are. And we're on TikTok and we're on Instagram.
That's it.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
So have a good night.
Yeah. You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Au revoir.
Bonjour.
Enchanté.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.